You are listening to Freedom Wranglers Main Focus. We are going to talk about something amazing in the Word of God today. We can't wait to share our hearts with you. So why don't you sit back, saddle up, and help us wrangle in the freedom of knowing Jesus.
Hey, hey, Jamie, it is time for the Main Focus.
Yes, yes, this is just one of my favorite times.
Me too. I love it. And I love how we're able to take our devotion time and we're able to really just hone in on what God is saying to us.
Yes.
Impart it to others. Because these are the moments that I think that he gives the nuggets of truth to us, as I call them.
Yes.
And so, you know, we all go through different things in life, different processes, different challenges and different changes. And I know that, you know, sometimes for people it's dealing with, rejection and hurt.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's dealing with a loss, mm-hmm. or it is dealing with, you know, a tough situation in their job. They're facing stuff that they're like, why am I having to face this today, Lord? Really? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that we understand that he has a plan. He has a purpose for every single thing that's going on and taking place in our lives. And you and I had a long chat the other day that kind of highlights a little bit of what we're going to talk about. You know, I know you've got a couple of really great scriptures that really talk about trusting in this process with the Lord. So I don't know if you want to start with one of those or if you want to start somewhere else.
Yeah, sure. So I wanted just to give a couple scriptures that are encouraging and trusting the process of whatever you're going through. First of all, I'll start with Psalm 23:5, and it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And I had a commentary by Ellicott, something like that. Anyway, he's an English, he did a commentary, an Englishman. And he said that in the presence of my enemies, we must imagine the banquet spread on some secure mountain height in sight of the baffled foe who look on in harmless spite. And to me, that just encourages me to know that my Father God, while all the chaos is going on in the world today, that all I have to do is enjoy my meal. Mm-hmm. Just sit down and enjoy the meal because he's got this. Mm-hmm. And it just really was encouraging in that aspect. And also Philippians 1:6. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Mm-hmm. Mm. And so we just have that blessed assurance of knowing that whatever we're going through, whether it's sickness, whether it's a death in the family, whether it's somebody at the job that's harassing you, or just anything that the enemy wants to throw at you, those fiery darts, that God is ultimately in control, and he is greater mm-hmm. than these things that are in the world, that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, and that we can endure all things. And I just was really encouraged by that, and knowing that the enemies are powerless to prevent the enjoyment of God's generous hospitality.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And you know, just to kind of add to what you're saying here, I did a study on Psalm 23. There's a great little book out there. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but the anointing of the head with oil is really significant in a couple of different ways. But with sheep, they draw bugs They come, and flies especially. Yeah. And flies will actually go up the nose of the sheep, and they will lay their eggs, and then the larvae will go to the brain of the sheep, and it will drive them nuts to where you will find a sheep banging its head on the rocks.
Oh, my word.
But if the shepherd pours the oil over the head of the sheep, it prevents the fly from coming, and it prevents the annoyance and the nuisance that comes with that fly. And so there's a real significance here that in Psalm 23, David knew everything about sheep, and he knew how to compare our walk with the Lord as that of sheep. And so when you look at this and the anointing of the head with oil, it's that protective covering that the Lord puts over us.
Yes.
He prepares this amazing banquet for us in the middle of our enemies, but he also anoints our head with oil. So what? So the enemy can't bug us. He can't come near us, because the flies don't come near the sheep when they're covered with that oil. So it's very powerful when you begin to break all of that down. But what really gets me excited after that is, and now we also have to remember that David's head was anointed with oil by the prophet when he was chosen to be king. He was still a boy, and he wasn't even recognized by his own father. That's sad. His father didn't even recognize him. When the prophet came to say, "Bring all your sons before me," he was completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
But don't ever feel forgotten in the promises of God.
That's right.
Because he has a promise for you, because he has something in store for you that is good. So even if your earthly father might forget you, your heavenly father does not. And he chooses you, and he wants to anoint your head. But where I was headed there is that verse 6, man, it just gets me so excited. "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But it's that goodness and loving kindness that get me so excited, because you talk about it in Philippians 6, whatever is good, whatever he started that is good, he's going to finish it.
He's going to complete it.
He's going to complete that good work he started in you. And that's confirmed right there in Psalm 23, verse 6.
Yeah.
The goodness of God. And so I just love that. It's so simple.
Yeah.
But it's so deep.
It's so deep. Yeah.
Psalm 23, if you ever, listener, if you ever get an opportunity, seriously, break it down. Learn about shepherds, learn about sheep, because there's so much in each verse to unpack that I don't have time to unpack it here, because it's just so much, but it is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I agree with you on that, because I mean, even just this one verse, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." I mean, there's so much to unpack with that.
Yes.
Because there's so much foolishness going on in the world today that we as Christians could just feel like, "Oh, whoa, 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 what's going on? What's going on here?" And we could just be blindsided because, you know, everything, we can't see what's going on in the spiritual realm. You know, we can't see with the invisible eye what's going on. You know, so the heavenly realm, you know, is in God's hands. So we just have to sit at the table. Where the food is prepared, and just bless it and enjoy it, and know that God's plan is for us and not against us, and just trust the process. Mm-hmm. You know,
and sitting at the table, when you think about that, that is, I know that, you know, you're like me growing up. When our family would gather at the table, those are some of my most precious memories, because that's where the conversation unfolds. That's where the fellowship is had. And it's over breaking bread together.
Yeah.
And you have these memories of conversations and laughter and all of these things. And you think about that like he's setting it up for you to come to the table, to sup with him, to commune with him, and to have that deep, meaningful relationship. Because let's be real, you don't really sit and take and have a meal with people you don't care about.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, I don't know about you. I don't say, hey, let's go break bread with somebody that I'm not interested in their life.
Right.
That I have I have a love and affection for them. And so that's right there. He's got this love and he's got this affection for us. And he says, come to my table, eat with me. Doesn't matter who doesn't like you around there. I want you here because there's room at my table for you.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
I mean, and so, you know, that takes me to what I was looking at this week, which had to do with, man, when we feel unworthy, when we feel left behind, or we feel betrayed, or we feel like we're not good enough, there is a great reminder, and it's all the way back in Genesis 1. You got to go back to the beginning to understand who you are and where you belong. And it's Genesis 1, verse 31. And it says, and God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. What I want to hone in on was it was very good.
That's right.
He made everything. It was very good. And that includes man and woman. They were very good. It wasn't just, they're all right. No, no, they were very good in his eyes. And he felt that he could rest after this.
Yeah.
And God took the most mundane ingredients to make us. He took dust from the ground to make man, which then in turn, he takes the bone from man, which was made from dust, to make woman. These two ingredients that you look at and you're going, that ain't anything special, God. But he looked at it. He made man and woman. And he said, that is good.
Uh-huh.
And so when you look at other human beings, you need to remember they're good. And they're made in God's image. Because God said that. He says in this that he wants to make man in their image. Let us make man in our image. And that's referring to Holy Spirit and referring to he was the Word, which is he becomes Jesus, the Word made flesh, and then God. So it's the Trinity, not in the angel's image. I know a lot of people get real confused there and they think that God was talking to the angels. He wasn't. He was talking to the Trinity at that point. And so we're made in his image. So when you look, when I look at my husband, he's made in God's image. I need to be able to see God in him and recognize the good in him. When I look in the mirror at myself, I'm made in God's image. And I'm not talking about my physical attributes. I am talking about my character, my personality, all of those things that make me who I am, because this is just a shell.
Yeah.
That is what makes me in his image. But then the next thing is that we kind of get lost on when God says, you know, hey, be fruitful and multiply. And we're like, oh, that means just let's have a whole bunch of babies. And it does. But the purpose of it was to spread his image throughout the land. So with every human being that's been born, it's spreading the image of God. And that's why I think there's such a strong battle and warfare in the heavenlies over abortion.
Yes.
Because these are babies made in his image.
Yeah.
So when you feel unworthy, go back to the beginning. You're made in God's image. How dare you question what he did?
Yeah.
And you need to trust the process, because sometimes God puts us in places that are uncomfortable to stretch us, to change us, to mold us, and to make us stronger
in
our walk with him.
That's right. And we can rest assured that whatever we're going through is for our good.
Amen.
It is for our good. You know, we can boldly claim that he is my fortress, my God. I could trust him as he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I know that. I know that even if I'm struggling with if you're struggling with a sickness, if you're struggling with, you know, a death of the family, like we said earlier, or if you're just struggling at a workplace or church or whatever,
Yeah.
Let me tell you, God has already got it figured out.
Yeah.
You know, he's just waiting. he's working it out.
Yeah.
And it's just building our faith. Like our faith is just going to get stronger because we're going to rest assured that we know that he's going to work it out for our good. Because he's a good God.
He is.
He loves us.
And he wants the very best for us. And those moments, although they may not feel good, because that's that digging that God does. That's when he starts messing with you because he's got something better for you than where you're at. But he's got to make you a little uncomfortable. He's got to stretch you. He's got to mold you into the person that he needs you to be to fulfill his goodness and his promises in your life. So you got to trust the process.
Yes.
And, you know, like I was watching, this is a crazy example, but I was watching a live on TikTok last Friday night. And I guess it must've been prom because so many were doing lives for prom makeup and hair. Well, girl, there was this one that I thought, I don't know what's happening here, but they had the full on like unibrow that they had painted on. And I'm not lying. It was huge. It was coming across this girl's face and I'm going, this poor girl, she looks crazy. And she didn't have a mirror. And I'm thinking, I wonder if she knows that this makeup person has done this to her. And in the comments, I'm like, what's going on with the eyebrows? And you see that there's lots of people saying this. Then a couple of people come back and they say this, trust the process. I'm like, I don't know what kind of process this is. It's going to bring it together, but they're like, just trust it. Trust it. Well, I thought I'll check back in a little while later. And I did. And I thought, oh, well, what did they do? All of a sudden, she looked like a different person. The unibrow was gone. Things were faded. Things were shaped up. And I'm like, whoa. And that's just an example of a physical transformation.
Yeah.
Just trust the process. But sometimes when you try to trust the process on Pinterest, it doesn't work so good. Okay. I'm just going to. I've had a few of them Pinterest fails. And I'm like, nah, the process didn't work on this one.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
But what I will say is if you trust the process with God, he's never going to fail you.
That's right.
And he said that. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Trust his process in your life. And uncomfortableness is not always, you know, good. Pain hurts.
Yeah, it does.
But he's a comforter. He is a comforter to us.
Yeah. And we're going to help people that have gone through it. So if you've gone through it, if you've gone through the river, you can be an encouragement to somebody else that has not gone through it. Mm-hmm. All right. But are fixing to.
Yes.
They're fixing to get through it. And so you're going to be, you know, on the sideline, sharing them on, saying, hey, dude, I know the process. I know what's going about to happen. It's going to be a little painful. I'm going to let you know. Gonna be a little painful, but you're gonna get through it.
That's right.
You know, you're gonna get through it. And that's what I like the scriptures. It talks about the persecution that happens in Revelations, and it says it's just gonna be for a couple days. It's just gonna be for a couple days and then it's gonna end.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, good, because there's only so long I could take of this, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Of this nonsense.
Yeah.
But the perseverance. That word is so important. We must be able to persevere through that because he is our rock. He's our foundation. And if you go back to the armor of God, you know, the shoes of peace, they keep you sure-footed when the storms rage around you. And you can be standing in the middle of a storm and not be blown over. Because he is your rock. He gives you that peace that keeps you sure-footed. And I had shared with Jamie the other day about how, man, when we came back to America, I worked briefly for a chiropractor in Northern Virginia before we relocated to Florida. And I thought to myself, what am I doing working at a chiropractic office? I was a Subway sandwich franchisee. I'd had my own business. And I'm looking at this going, I'm wearing scrubs. I'm making 10 bucks an hour, sitting at a front desk doing what? Like, and then before I know it, I'm doing therapies on people, you know, and I'm going, am I qualified to do this? Lots of questions. Yeah. But anyhow, you know, I did that. Yeah. And I thought, well, you know, it was what I needed to do during that season in my life.
Yeah.
We got to Florida and my husband didn't have a green card. And so he couldn't work. We were going through the process of getting his status changed in the United States so he would be legal to work. And I needed to get a job. And so the Lord opened the doors, and that's a whole nother story about how he opened the doors for me to get the job that I got. But I landed this job and was there for 7 years. And I grew within the company. But I got to be honest, I was not loving what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was behind a desk. I was managing people that they just had attitudes. They didn't want to be there. And it was crazy. It was chaotic. And the stress level was unbelievable. And it wasn't my business. You know, I was a manager for a team, maxing out at 25. And that's a lot of people doing what I was doing, but I was doing insurance claims. I was dealing with billing to insurance for workers' comp. And then I was also moved over into a whole nother area where we dealt with, where we needed to handle letters of reconsideration. And we learned to write these. I taught people how to write these letters to ask the insurance companies to reconsider their rejection on the bill. And I thought, what in the world am I doing? And the only reason I got that job was because I had the chiropractic job, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there for 7 years and I'm like, this is not what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
But I did it because that's what I needed to do for my family. And of course, my husband got a green card and, you know, he had his job and God's blessed him. But eventually I was able to walk away from that position and be a full-time mom at home to our son who's disabled. What I didn't know was that those 7 years were the training ground for being able to deal with insurance companies, for my son's medical care, for being able to deal with reconsiderations and speak the right lingo to the adjusters, to the nurse case managers, to all these people, and to understand what a diagnosis code is so that I could benefit my family and take care of my son appropriately.
Yeah.
But if you told me that 7 years at the beginning, day one, I would have been like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
7 years later, it hits me. That's why I was there. I was there for 7 years to learn that whole process so that I could help my family.
That's right.
And so he puts us in these places and we don't understand until we look back. And that's why they say hindsight's always 20/20, but because I persevered, if I quit, you know, in week two, how could I have benefited our family and my son?
Yeah. That is so true, Chana. It's like so many times we're in situations where, you know, we're like, oh gosh, this is so painful. I don't want to be here. This job is not for me. This doesn't go with my personality, but yet God provided a job.
Yeah,
so here you are at a job and you're gaining experience and you're getting more learned and you're going to learn more. And so you gain more of that information that you could use. Mm-hmm. Because God has a plan for to use it some other time.
That's right. And you said something there that just triggered a thought in me. It was the job he provided.
Yes.
There wasn't another job. That job was the job he lined up for me. And that's again, a whole other story. How do I know that that was the job? Because I was offered 3 jobs in the same day. And I know that that job was the job due to some specifics within that job that confirmed that's where I was supposed to be. And so God is good. God is faithful. And you might be put into some situations where you just think to yourself, really, Lord, are you sure you've got this right, God? Yeah. Are you sure that I'm in the right place? And this is the right like group of people I'm supposed to be with? Like, really? Because I've been there and you start to question him. You're kind of like, God, did you flip a coin today, Lord, and say, well, that's what we'll do?
Yeah.
No, that's not how he operates. He sees the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And he sees the in between. But what we fail to understand is that he sees the end. We don't know what's coming, but he sees the end. And just like that scripture says, it's good.
Yes, it is good. It is all good. It is all good for you. Yes. And even though it may not feel good for you, it's kind of like your mama telling you to eat your greens.
That's right.
You know? And you're like, no, I don't want to eat my greens. I don't like it. I want to eat mac and cheese. And it's like, but it's good for you.
That sounds good. Mac and cheese. I'm hungry. I haven't had lunch, but I'm not going to have mac and cheese. I'll eat something better.
I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's just.
You know what? You are a personal trainer, Jamie. So you have that understanding of dealing with someone on day one, and you say to them, trust the process. Eat the meal plan I tell you to eat. Come and do your workouts with me X amount of days. And here's what we're going to do. You trust the process and you're going to see results. And that's not going to be on day one. You won't see the results.
You won't see the results. It's a lot of times the muscle weighs more than fat. I know everybody's heard that, but we do all the measurements before we get started. And there's a reason for it because we know the scale is going to fluctuate, especially with women for some reason. Yes. It's always the women. The scale always fluctuates. For the many amount of years I've been in that industry, women fluctuate so much, mm-hmm. but it's the measurements that are consistent. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing clothes coming off of you, you know, like, oh my goodness, I'm not a size, 10 anymore. I'm a size 8. stuff like that. And, things just fit differently. Yeah. And you're just like, okay, well, trust the process. This is working. And then that's what happens. You know, it just takes a little hard work, to get through it. But once you get through it, you get, mm-hmm. go through the river and go through the woods and all that stuff. Once you get through it, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel because God promises that.
That's right.
We're his children and he loves us and he wants what's good for us. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we just want to push back for some reason because we think, oh, I don't like the taste of the green beans. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the taste of it, mommy.
And I'm uncomfortable. And I don't like to be made uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. just kind of icky, mama. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, but, Father God is sitting here like, but it's good for you. And mm-hmm. it's going to give you the nourishment that you need to grow.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about. It's about growing.
It is. Absolutely. So, guys, if there's anything that we want you to take away today, trust the process, persevere, and God does know what he's doing because in the end, it is all going to be good.
That's right.
So hold steady, as my father has always said to me, because in the storms, he has said, hold steady. And when you hold steady, you do come through it and it's okay. And I told him the other day, I said, all those years you told me to hold steady, Daddy. I thought you were crazy. I thought, here he comes again. Hold steady, Chanda.
Hold steady.
I said, hold. You were so right, Daddy.
I'm thinking of, okay, I know you're thinking about, but I'm thinking about Braveheart for some reason. I'm thinking of Mel Gibson, Braveheart, when they were going into battle. And he's like, hold.
Hold, yes.
Hold.
That's right.
Hold.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It is. And his whole, that phraseology comes from flying planes. My dad was a pilot, and you got to hold steady at times when you're flying or else you'll crash. And so it's key. So he has always said that to me, and more so now in my life than ever have I realized that that is a true phrase that really needs to be spoken to more people. Hold steady, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Trust it. You will get there and you will see the good things of God, because the goodness of God will follow you all the days of your life. Okay. And you will see it in the land of the living. That's one of the Psalms. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So have a wonderful week, guys. We love you. Be blessed.
Yes. Be encouraged. We're so glad we could hopefully inspire you.
Yes. It's amazing what you can do when you, what God does with little devotions.
That's right. And things that are happening.
Yes.
In your life, this present moment.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll talk to y'all later. Freedom Wranglers.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to Freedom Wranglers. That music right there is Later Alligator by Shane Ivers, and you can find that at www.silvermansound.com. We also want to thank Goodman Ministries for all of their financial support for this podcast. Now, don't you forget to saddle up, sit back, and wrangle in freedom this week.